And welcome everyone to another episode of the Developing Up Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Miles, and this is the podcast focused on the non-technical side of being a developer, because your career is about more than the code you write. So if you call yourself a programmer, a developer, a script kiddie, a database administrator, a technologist, a technical architect, whatever you call yourself, if it's your job to write code, this is the podcast for you. And to all the new listeners out there, I want to say welcome. Thanks for joining us. And for all the repeat listeners, hey, thanks for coming back and listening to another episode.
And this is episode 30. That's 30, which means you can find the show notes for this episode at developingup.com/30. I'm on the road again at another tech conference, which means I am recording yet again an intro in a hotel room. Unlike last episode, I am not in a pillow fort. However, I am in a recording booth, maybe? So I basically changed the closet of my hotel room into a recording booth. I've stuffed pillows around me. I'm wedged between two bathrobes. I'll post another picture of it because it's ridiculous. In today's episode, I sat down with Aubrey, who's actually a longtime listener of the show, and I was really excited to get her on an episode and to have the chance to sit down and talk with her. And what Aubrey and I talk about is a subject that's important for all developers, from junior to the most senior, and that's imposter syndrome. I think it's something that all developers experience at some point in time in their career, and it's important to know, one, how to identify it, and two, how to handle it. And yeah, we just had a nice conversation about imposter syndrome. So you're going to hear that, and afterwards, I'll come back and recap a little bit for everybody. Aubrey, thank you so much for agreeing to be on the podcast as a longtime listener. Really appreciate it. I'm excited.
Yes, I've loved your podcast since I discovered it sometime, probably about this time last year. Wow. I don't remember when exactly I came across it, but yeah, I don't remember how either, actually.
I just remember the first time we met, but you're like, oh yeah, I listened to your podcast. And I was just like, wow, there's somebody who actually listens. So
it was a global sprint weekend. I met you that weekend too.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a sprint weekend.
Yep.
For our listeners, why don't you just tell a little bit about yourself and your development history?
Okay, well, my name is Aubrey. I have been doing web development professionally for the past 11 years. I have worked at various and assorted agencies. I have worked at big companies. I've worked at companies that had only 5 people. I've mainly focused on front-end development. I have done some back-end development as well. I've worked as a designer for a little bit too. I've kind of been all over the place with my career, and you know, I've really, really enjoyed development. It's one of my, obviously, something I really, really like to do and can't see stopping anytime soon. Currently, I work at Chewy.com. I am working as a software developer there, doing mainly CSS and JavaScript, which is definitely the area I like to focus in. So, yeah.
With your diverse background, I mean, doing it for the last 11 years, a little mix of things, you're a prime candidate for this topic of imposter syndrome. So having some insights into that, not that you have to be someone who has all the answers. I don't think there is any one person. But I think there's a lot of things that a lot of developers face, junior and senior, and just getting insights to it from our points of view can be very helpful. So with that, I want to ask to you, Aubrey, what is imposter syndrome and its effects on developers and their careers?
Basically, I know for me, imposter syndrome is feeling like a fraud, feeling like I've lucked out on getting where I am. It's not been because I'm talented. It's because I was in the right place at the right time. I just happened to stumble across these opportunities. I've happened to just magically become a good developer, not because I have the skill or the hard work that I put in. Just thinking that I'm not intelligent enough, I'm around other people who are way smarter than me, so I can never measure up and I can never be as good as these other people that I see and I interact with on a day-to-day basis. A lot of it comes out of when you're around a lot of other people, at least to me. It comes around when I'm around other developers, especially people who I think are way smarter than me. I think, no way am I as smart as these people. No way does my mind work the same way as these people. It's very demotivating, and I know when I'm experiencing imposter syndrome, I just want to go underneath my desk and curl into a ball because I feel like I'm just never going to be good enough, and it's pretty hard.
I see it as, like you said, you don't recognize that what's gotten you to where you are is the hard work and the skills that you have, and it's more necessarily it's luck or that
the classic thing with imposter syndrome, you feel like you're going to be found out. I think as humans in general, it's hard for us to recognize our own accomplishments and focus on the positive aspects we bring versus just lady luck giving us an opportunity and not being discovered.
Yep. Actually, I just started my job, so I just went through the interview process. And that's definitely an area where you feel a lot of imposter syndrome. At least I did. And it was, you know, after I had to do a coding challenge, and that definitely kind of stirs up some imposter syndrome-y feelings where, am I doing good enough on this code challenge? Are the other candidates writing better code than I am? What are the people who are going to look at the code? What are they going to think about what I wrote? Is it going to be good enough? I mean, obviously, I ended up getting the job, so it's not that, oh, they're just looking to fill some positions, so that's why they that's why they hired me. I know, that's where my mind immediately will go, is, oh, they only hired me because, oh, you know, she's good enough, you know, we'll just take her, she's not outstanding or anything. But no, I worked hard, you know, I spent a ton of hours on this coding challenge, I spent a lot of time getting things right, so I put the work in. I'm definitely capable enough.
I've never thought of imposter syndrome from an interview perspective, but it totally makes sense as a really intense scenario for imposter syndrome, because that's a spot where you don't want to make a mistake. You don't want to be found out for not knowing what you say you know on your resume. I mean, you solved your coding problem, but if that was like given to you in person during the interview, like, here's a marker, here's a whiteboard, write out this code to be able to say, well, I don't know how to do this, but this is how I might go about it.
Which is actually something I had to do in my in-person interview.
Oh, really?
It wasn't on a whiteboard. It was on, you know, CodePen or some online or interactive website. I had to actually write some JavaScript that I wasn't familiar with in front of two interviewers, and that was pretty nerve-wracking. But I said, hey, you know, this is how I would go about it if I knew what I was doing. And they liked hearing my thought process. So even though I didn't know what I was doing with writing the code, they knew that I could figure it out.
I think you demonstrated there was the fact that you got over something from imposter syndrome, which is not feeling like you can ask for help or you have to do everything yourself. In that scenario, if imposter syndrome just took over, you might have just been like in your head, and I'm just assuming what you might think in this hypothetical situation, is that, oh crap, oh crap, oh crap, I don't know how to do this, but I can't tell them that. Let me just try to do something. And then, but they're going to see that as you not being able to communicate with that. And it kind of, that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy as opposed to then really trusting what you know and what you don't know and being confident in explaining
that's
that.
Exactly it. I could have easily just shut down and froze, but I just kept going with it. You know, I'm like, well, I know what I'm doing here. I am definitely capable. That's kind of what I tell myself when I'm going through imposter syndrome. It's kind of a thing that I do to get myself out of it, is I tell myself, I know what I'm doing and I'm capable of doing this work. This isn't anything that's out of my realm of knowledge. So I can actually do this. And that gets me back on track. And it got me just talking through my process and getting through the interview.
I think this is dovetailing into how to deal with imposter syndrome, like self-affirmation, reminding yourself you can do what you have the skills to do what you need to do. You've gotten there from certain ways.
Yeah, it's one of the things I do. I also will talk about it with people I trust, significant other or friends who also know a little bit about imposter syndrome and who can help me out. That really helps a lot too, just to kind of get it out there that it's something that I feel and something that a lot of other developers feel too. Talking about it and knowing that I'm not the only person who has ever felt this way helps. But when I'm in the middle of it, that's when I'll remember those affirmations and tell myself that, yes, I know what I'm doing.
And that's a great method, I would say, for dealing with imposter syndrome, is reminding yourself of your skills and what you have. And we both came across the same article, I think, in prepping for this, about different types of imposter syndrome. The one you're describing, that's like the classic expert imposter syndrome, where it's like you can't ask for this help, you have to be the expert. But you overcome it by being like, no, I am an expert, I do know what I'm doing. Maybe we'll just take a step back for the listeners. The article we read referenced a book called The Secret Thoughts of Successful Women, Why Capable People Suffer from the Imposter Syndrome and How to Survive Despite of It by Valerie Young. And she breaks down imposter syndrome into five subtypes. What I found interesting about this is that I didn't think of these other things as imposter syndrome, but like the perfectionist, right? Where you set high goals for yourself, you really strive for those high goals. And when you fail them, you feel like, oh man, you don't know what you're doing, because you set these lofty, lofty goals that you just can't ever amount to. And then when you don't do them, you're like, well, that proves it, I don't know what I'm doing. One of the things that she talks about in the article, and I'll link to the article in the show notes, is that to overcome like that one is you have to be able to like take your mistakes in stride and be aware that you don't have to be perfect.
I've experienced that in the past.
I've definitely experienced it too. I mean, I was feeling a little bit that way when I was doing that coding challenge. That's something where I felt like I had to get everything 100% right. But honestly, no, I didn't have to. I just had to demonstrate I knew what I was doing and that I could figure out some of the issues. But nobody can really get everything done in these code challenges.
So then there's also, there's the super person, Superman, Superwoman. This is where the person needs to, like, you push yourself as hard as you can. I think this leads to developer burnout, trying to be the super person. Like, you just have to work harder than everybody else. These are like classic workaholics. And it's interesting that that's a type of imposter syndrome, because are you doing that because you have this great deal of work, or are you doing that because you have to prove, or you feel like you have to prove you're better than everybody, or that you can handle everything?
Yeah, and I was looking at that one in particular too, because I definitely can feel that way sometimes, especially if I'm taking time off or something like that. I feel like I need to make up that time somehow by doing more work, because I need to prove that I know what I'm doing. I definitely feel that sometimes too.
That version of imposter syndrome comes from you need external validation for what you're doing. And the way to deal with that is to start pulling in your own validation of yourself and not just rely 100% on external validation. And that can be hard in development because you're building something for somebody else. And so you're looking for that from your team leaders or wherever. Then there's the natural genius, which is where your success is perpendicular to the amount of work you actually put in. So if something's hard work, that means you don't know what you're doing and it's supposed to come easy to you. And the disadvantage of that is that it's kind of like the perfectionist, where you expect everything has to be perfect, so that if you have to struggle on something and you have to like challenge yourself, that means you don't know what you're doing and you shouldn't be doing it. And you risk not really allowing yourself to grow.
Yeah, it sounds a lot like the perfectionist, only this person, the natural genius, wants everything to be easy.
Yeah.
And when it's not easy, then, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, maybe I don't know what I'm doing. I should know everything. You know, that seems what this one is.
And if everything was easy, it wouldn't all be worth doing.
No, I mean, definitely things, not.
Especially in development, like you want those tough problems. I think developers, fundamentally at heart, we're problem solvers, right?
Yep.
You want those challenges to take. So if a puzzle was easy, if every challenge was a game of tic-tac-toe, like, we'd be bored. And then there's the rugged individualist, which this is the person who is afraid to ask for help. To an extreme degree, feel like you have to do everything alone. And you can't really rely on other people. Or if you do, then it's going to show something that you aren't supposed to be doing what you're doing.
A lot of developers have had issues with asking for help, but I don't think this one's really one that I've experienced a lot in, like, personally. Yeah, I don't think I've really experienced much of having a hard time asking for help.
I am very jealous of you, Aubrey, with that. I've faced that in my past, and I still do. Being like, well, I'm just going to do it myself. I'm going to buckle down, and no matter how late I have to stay awake or how long I have to do it, I'm going to figure it out. The way to overcome that is recognizing, especially if you have a team that you work with, that you can collaborate with them, that you can asking for help. It's not saying, it's not a defeat. It's more of an opportunity to learn. It's saying, I don't know this yet, but I want to know it. Who can help me figure it out? I am so happy to hear that you have not experienced that one so much. And I don't think all these that we're talking about, everyone's going to recognize that you do that or not. I mean, people have different degrees of it. Maybe I'm just more of an imposter than I think. And there's the expert, which is, this is the person, and this is the one we've talked about that it sounds like you experienced the most.
This is definitely the one I've experienced the most.
Where you feel like you've tricked your way into where you are, and like you don't recognize the hard work you put in. You have a fear of being exposed and then being ridiculed or whatnot.
Especially starting a new job, you really feel that first couple of weeks where you're ramping up. You're learning everything, and that's new in the new job. So, you know, you're not going to be banging out all sorts of awesome, mind-blowing code right away. You're pretty much learning the ropes, learning the processes, but still there's a little bit of a fear that, do they really mean to hire me? Did they confuse me with somebody else? You know, there's sometimes you feel that way. Like, is this really, or am I really the person they wanted to hire? But then again, when I interact with my team and I do get some work done, I realize that, yes, I fit in with this team. I fit in with the work. You know, they know my experience. You know, it's not like I pretended my way through this interview. They hired me because they liked my skill set.
It's interesting, like, you start a new job and maybe the expert imposter syndrome takes over because you're like, all right, I'm new here. I have to show I know what I'm doing.
Yes.
Which is so unintuitive because you're new.
Yes.
Right? So you don't have to know everything. You should be asking those questions.
Yep.
And I think
it's the same thing, not only on a new job, but a new project, working with a new technology, a new client. You shouldn't go in there and being afraid of asking those questions and asking for guidance and help so that you really can become the expert in that area.
You know, I talked a little bit about the job interview issue that I had with imposter syndrome earlier. But earlier in this year, I also experienced more imposter syndrome when I went to a tech conference. At the beginning of this tech conference, there is a code sprint. And I attended this code sprint with me where a lot of other developers who had been in the community for a lot longer than I have, who have contributed a lot of code to the specific project that we all work on. I felt very overwhelmed around all these people who seemed so smart, so intelligent, where I was struggling to find something to do. And so that was pretty difficult for me to deal with, even though I had actually done some work in the contributing code to the community before this. It still made me feel very intimidated being around so many other people who were, I hate using this word, who are rock stars in the community. It just made me feel very overwhelmed. I actually did start feeling like I was shutting down. So what I ended up doing was getting out and taking a walk, taking a couple breaths, kind of again telling myself that, yes, I do know what I'm doing. I am capable. I have done this before. Just because I'm around a lot of other people who have done this more and have for longer than I have doesn't mean that I can't contribute. Doing that and then talking with a couple people about my feelings really helped me get back into it, and actually ended up at the end of the conference talking with a lot of these same big core contributors and actually got some stuff done.
That's awesome that you are able to take that imposter syndrome hitting you, internalize it, that reaffirmation that you do, and then talk to others and get guidance and then power through it and recognize, yeah, you can do what you do. Thank you for sharing that story.
Yeah,
by the way,
problem.
Appreciate that. Not that it's easy, but you can figure out ways to deal with your own imposter syndrome and how to overcome that. Like in this article with those five types, there's recommendations on how to do it. You obviously have your own methodology. But if you're on a team, you're working with other developers, there's a benefit in being able to notice when someone else is experiencing imposter syndrome and offering them opportunities to help them through it.
If you are someone who is a veteran at experiencing imposter syndrome, which I feel like I have been, I think being a mentor to other people, especially people who are just getting into development and maybe who are feeling intimidated by people who know more than them because they're more experienced, mentoring some people like this would be really beneficial to them so that they recognize that, hey, even these people who have been developing for a long time, hey, they also feel this too. It's not a unique feeling that they have. They are not alone in feeling imposter syndrome. And I think that's something that's really big to kind of get out there. Something else I'm thinking when it comes to, helping other developers deal with it is writing about it, writing about it in a blog, just talking about it, making it kind of known that it is a thing that people experience.
Yes, sharing those personal experiences with others.
Normalizing the experience, I feel like, is definitely beneficial because, a lot of people think that they're the only one who feels that way, that, oh, there's something wrong with me because I'm feeling this way. But no, make it more normal. Make all the developers feel that they're not alone. And I think that would help them a lot too.
I would say even if you are a team leader or you have people who report to you, being willing to share when you are feeling an imposter to show that, hey, it's okay if you don't know anything. I don't know everything. Providing that safe space for people to be like, hey, I need help with it. I need to talk through this. Anyone on your team, or just if you're at a conference and you're sitting down with someone at a code sprint and you're just like, oh, I don't know how to solve this problem. And that person looks at you like, oh, wait, if you don't know how to solve it, that's okay that I don't know how to do it. Great general advice. Being there for other people. I love how you said normalize it, make it known. If you have those personal connection stories where someone can say, I've experienced the same situation, I can understand that. Goes a long way of sharing that experience.
I think listening to this podcast episode will help people too.
Hopefully. Yeah, that's the hope. Yeah, I hope so. I got one more question for you, Aubrey. What is your one piece of career advice for developers out there?
Everybody is going to experience imposter syndrome at one point or another in their careers. Sometimes in the beginning, maybe later on after you've been developing for a few years. Just remembering that you're not alone in feeling these feelings of imposter syndrome. You're definitely not.
I think that is very useful advice for all developers, no matter what level you're at. Aubrey, thank you for sitting down. Just for listeners to know, we are actually at a tech conference this weekend together, so I'm glad we could take this time during the lunch period to sit down and have a conversation with a longtime listener. Again, I'm so excited that you agreed to be on the show.
Yeah, I'm excited too.
All right, thank you, Aubrey, for being on the episode.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Once again, I want to thank Aubrey for taking the time to sit down with me at that tax conference and talk about such an important subject in development. Especially, I'm really grateful for her sharing her personal experiences with imposter syndrome. If you want to know any more about Aubrey or you want to show your thanks for her sharing her examples, you can find her on Twitter at Starshape. I'll link to her Twitter account in the show notes, as well as to the article we referenced with those five different imposter syndrome types. I'd love to hear your experiences with imposter syndrome and how you've worked through it or how you've helped others work through imposter syndrome. So if you want to go to the show notes page for this episode, that's developingup.com/30. And we have a comment section where you can share your thoughts and in your own personal experiences. And if you want to share your further thoughts and opinions about this episode or any episode or just development in general, there's a number of outlets you can use. So there's the website, developingup.com, that features our full library of recorded episodes with show notes and sections for comments and conversations. You can find us on Twitter at DevUpPodcast or myself personally at MikeMiles86, or send a good old-fashioned email at hello@developingup.com or to me at Mike@developingup.com. And I'd greatly appreciate your help in reaching a wider development audience. If you could leave a rating and review on iTunes or Stitcher or Google Play or wherever you get your podcast, it helps other developers find this podcast and get better at their careers. So until the next episode, I wish you happy developing.